So the epistle for the third Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5. Dearly beloved, be humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in the time of visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye, strong in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 15. At that time, the publicans and sinners drew nigh unto Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you that hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he had found it, lay it upon his shoulders, rejoicing, and coming home, called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just who need not penance. Or what woman having 10 groats, if she shall lose one groat, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she had found it, called together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the groat which I have lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. Please be seated. One thing that I forgot to mention in the announcements, it is the third order Sunday, but I apologize because of Bishop Tissier's visit. And I was on jury duty this past week that I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to prepare that, so I apologize to the Third Order. We'll just try to do that next Sunday, then the 24th. The crown will be given neither to beginners nor to the advanced, but to the victorious, to those who persevere to the end. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As I mentioned, they took advantage of the opportunity to have ordinations on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And how fitting that the newly ordained priest but have this special feast day to be ordained, to be raised to the priesthood. Because truly, when we think about the priest, he is another Christ. He is meant to continue the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is meant to carry that on. I mentioned to you before that obviously the virtues that the priest strives for in the confessional come from the example of the Sacred Heart. But he has the virtues of justice, obviously, but then also the mercy that the Sacred Heart has for our souls. And the devotion to the Sacred Heart started back in the 13th century with St. Gertrude the Great. We're always very familiar with St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, because she was the one that made it more public. She was the one that brought out this devotion for all of us to consider, the devotion to the Sacred Heart, devotion, the first Fridays, making reparation to the Sacred Heart. But actually, yes, the devotion started with St. Gertrude the Great, a Benedictine. But she had visions of the Sacred Heart. And it was through this, that devotion, that we can say that spirituality of being devoted to the Sacred Heart started. And then St. Margaret Mary, yes, she brought it out for all of us to have. And then the work was continued by Father Matteo. Father Matteo is the famous one that's talked about the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, of how that our home would be enthroned to have Christ the King as the head of the household. And it is one of the things that he took this devotion that was brought to us by St. Margaret Mary and then before St. Gertrude. And he took it and he was able to try to show to us how important that is. how important it is for our own soul, for our family, because of what the devotion means, what the devotion shows to us. As I say, it shows the mercy of Almighty God. Yes, very clearly, it also shows His justice, true. But if anything, we look at the Sacred Heart and we look at the mercy of God. One of the things I would encourage you to do is to find the 12 promises that the Sacred Heart gave to St. Margaret Mary for those that promote this devotion. To read them over, to read and see what they say, and how consoling it is to see this devotion and what it gives to us, just by those that promote this devotion. One of the means of promoting it is just by having the Sacred Heart in a prominent place in your home, whether a statue, whether an image, you know, whatever it may be. That is one of the means for us to promote this devotion. One of the promises that He gave to her is that tepid souls will become fervent. So lukewarm souls, souls that don't have this strong desire, that they will be made fervent because of this devotion. And also one of the things for the priests have to promote this, that they will be able to touch hardened hearts, souls that maybe have a harder time in practicing of their faith, of being devout, of living the life that they should, that they would be able to be touched by priests that are devoted to the Sacred Heart. So at the very beginning, I quoted something from St. Margaret Mary, something that was told to her, talking about receiving the crown. Because for us, we know, we're all working toward heaven. We are all working toward a crown. And so He told her that the crown will not be given to beginners nor to the advanced, talking about in the spiritual life itself. I mean, obviously, to beginners, that makes sense to us. Those just starting off, well, they have to work toward that goal, work toward that crown. But to the advanced, that can be puzzling. Just because we advance in the spiritual life does not necessarily mean that we will gain the crown. Because a lot of elements go into that. That because we advance, maybe we see the growth that we are making in the spiritual life, we become prideful. We can, all these different things that the devil will try to do to push a soul. And that's why he says that the crown will be given to the victorious, those who persevere to the very end, those that make it all the way to the end. And truly, that is the whole understanding of the spiritual life. I mean, when St. Paul talks about it being a race, a fight, that is what he is trying to explain to us. That those that will receive the crown will be the ones that make it to the very end. Those that persevere to the very end. Those are the ones that will receive the crown. So it doesn't necessarily matter in terms of whether you're advanced in the spiritual life, whether you're a beginner. It all boils down to if you make it to the very end. And so that is why that I encourage then the devotion to the Sacred Heart. Because our Lord very clearly shows of how important this devotion is. He shows how we must try to have this. One, because of His great love for souls. He cares for souls. He wants souls to go to heaven. That is why He is willing to give us all the graces that we need. That is why He died on the cross for us. No greater love hath a man shown than one that is willing to die for his friends, give up his life. And so that was the greatest illustration of love for souls. But it is also something that our Lord wants from each one of us. And that's why He told St. Margaret Mary He just wants her to be a docile instrument to draw hearts to Him. He also told St. Teresa of Avila. He had said, I will make you a saint according to how I want it done. Not according to your fancy, not according to how you want it, but according to how I want it done. And we all know with St. Teresa of Avila, she was very strong-willed. But obviously she was also very devoted to Almighty God. But he mentioned that to her, that it's not according to your fancy, not according to what you think it should be, how you think you should become a saint. But it will be according to how I want it done. And so that reminds us, yes, of being a docile instrument to draw souls to Almighty God. And so as I say, and when we look at these 12 promises, we see how much that our Lord wants us to have this devotion by what he is willing to offer to us, by what he is willing to give to us. And so I would say families that are very serious about the spiritual life, about getting to heaven, the enthronement is one of a natural process that they will take, that they would show that our Lord Jesus Christ is the King. He is the centerpiece of their home. And that is where then the home revolves around this devotion to the Sacred Heart. I mean, to the point that St. Margaret Mary had asked our Lord, well, what do you want from me? And he said, give me a free hand, meaning I will lead you. I will bring you to the point that you need to be. And that is the understanding for all of us. As I mentioned, Father Mateo, he went out and it became his work to promote this enthronement. It became his work to promote this devotion to the Sacred Heart, the love that we should have for the Sacred Heart. So that is what he went and did. There was one point that when he was still in Chile, he was building a school, building this law school, different things. Just as he completed it, an earthquake happened and it all shattered. And so rightly so, in a way, he goes to Almighty God and asks, you know, what happened? You know, I'm doing this for your glory. I'm trying to help souls. I'm trying to educate people. I'm trying to do all these things. And then as I finish it, you crush it. And it was made known to him that our Lord had other plans for him. And it's like, that's not where I want you. I want you to go out and to promote devotion to my Sacred Heart. And so granted, yes, at the time he thought, well, what good is this? I'm trying to do these things for God's glory, and then he just shatters it. I mean, that is where God's will, God's way, is not necessarily ours. We don't understand it at times. It doesn't make sense. And so for him, he was trying to do these things for God. And then God showed him a different path. God brought him and said, nope, this is the way I want. This is where I want you. This is what I want you to do. And he realized at that point, okay, then I'm just going to place myself under God's designs. God can lead me. And again, following that same understanding of St. Margaret Mary, you know, what do you want from me? And God said, just give me a free hand because I will lead you in the path I want you. And I would say for all of us, it should be the same thing. That we must try to place ourselves under Almighty God. That we place ourselves in asking God to lead us. Instead of a lot of times we think, okay, this is God's will, this is what we want, and then we'll go. And then in a way we just want God to follow us, just to give his blessing upon it and say, okay, that was your will. Well, no, we have to be led by God, by divine providence. And that is where you see the difference that the saints have. Yes, the saints may have been strong-willed. They may have had their own ways of trying to do things. But ultimately it comes down to, were they led by God? Did they understand that? You know, did they understand that God is the one that has set the path? And for them just to follow. And so that is where we must try to understand, we must try to pray, and leave it in the hands of Almighty God. God knows what he's doing. God sees overall everything, every soul, every person, every event, everything that will happen. And so therefore, God will lead us on the right path, and we just have to follow that. Whether it is what he said to St. Margaret Mary, what St. Teresa of Avila, you know, be according to my designs, the way that I want it done. And so at that point, we just have to follow. We have to be this docile instrument of trying to seek after our Lord Jesus Christ and his Sacred Heart. And that is where then ultimately we see what Father Mateo called the night adoration, spending time before the Blessed Sacrament. And if we don't understand what God wants from us, then we should come and pray. We should come and ask God, you know, lead us. Lead us on the right path. Lead us to where you want us. And that is why then he was so vocal about these adorations that are necessary for us. Adorations that are necessary for us to try to seek and find God's will. St. Margaret Mary had said she went to the source. And that's the Sacred Heart. And that source is found in our tabernacle. That source is what we have the opportunity to visit each day if we want. And that is where the famous quote, "Can you not watch 1 hour with me?" Asking for that. Asking for that effort, that time. And that is where the graces will come. The graces of doing the First Fridays, 9 First Fridays, graces of holy hours. Some of you are members of the Prayer Crusade for Priests. Do you make the holy hour in praying for them? Because it is one of the things that he mentioned to St. Margaret Mary. He mentioned to her the coldness of those consecrated souls to him and how much that hurts him. These priests, yes, ones that have been given so much. And as I say, pray for the priests, especially those that were ordained yesterday, that they do truly become priests after his most Sacred Heart. But he said that coldness that they have and how much that hurts him. And but he told her, he said, don't talk about them, just pray for them. Pray and sacrifice for them. And so that is where then St. Margaret Mary, she did. She wanted to spend the time before the Blessed Sacrament, as I mentioned. She went to the source of looking for these graces. And that is what we must understand. That is what we must try to put into practice for our own lives. The First Fridays, the opportunities that we have, to practice this devotion to the Sacred Heart, to repair for the sins against the Sacred Heart, for us to see clearly the mercy of the Sacred Heart, the love that he has for our souls. And so let us take advantage of these things to think about the First Fridays, think about adoration, to think about the enthronement if we haven't done it already. And if you have done it, then to live up to it. I mean, to where you have maybe that sheet that is signed by all the family members of illustrating that this is our King. Well, then it should be a constant reminder to us that he must be our King, that we must live our lives in accordance to his laws. And so that is why our Lord is placed in a prominent place in our home, that the family sees it, that the family prays, the family rosary in front of it, the image, the statue, whatever it may be. There is that good reminder every time they walk in the home that the Sacred Heart is right there, looking at them. And so these are the things we must try to do for our lives, for our families. We must promote that. Because as I said, the 12 promises that the Sacred Heart gave to St. Margaret Mary are a great consolation to us. As I say, if you don't know them, look them up, read them, read and study them, and see what our Lord is offering to us. And it is through this, the devotion to the Sacred Heart, that we will sanctify our families, that there will be a difference in our families and in their souls. But also, I think it can be a great help to us to see, even though the way that the world is going, we always have this devotion to the Sacred Heart. Again, realizing that God is in control. God is in control of every single element of our world. And so we just have to place ourselves under that protection. So I'll leave you with the words that he said to Saint Margaret Mary. Also, you'll find on my ordination card. Fear nothing, I will reign in spite of my enemies. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.